Welcome back to Super Tuesday Recap. It's your host, Chris and Deep. I'm here. And we are reviewing, we're doing a back-to-back episode. We're reviewing two episodes of Arrow Season 7. We're doing episode 15, which is called Training Day, and episode 16, which is called Star City 2040. I just want one synopsis for both shows. I think they sum it up and get both episodes in there really good. It has the SCPD trains Oliver and crew how to do police work. The SCPD that got infiltrated by Diaz. The SCPD that never locks people up. The SCPD that stays having a corrupt police chief. That SCPD is training vigilantes on how to do police work. Also, Renee is a snitch in any timeline.
That's pretty good. See, I have two separate ones.
Okay.
The first one was Team Arrow cosplays as inept, easily bungled, and easily led astray Star City police officers before getting the shit together. And the second was, this is going to end exactly how you think it will. Which isn't a bad thing. I want everyone to know, I really enjoyed Star City 2040, so we'll talk about that there. But this is going to end exactly the way you think it will. And I'm happy it did. Let's go.
Yeah. So for Training Day, look, I got to be honest. We all knew how this was going to end.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
him training. I also love the fact that there are certain things that, all right, so look, the police themselves were wrong in a lot of things. It's like, guys, listen to the vigilantes who, this guy here does your job with a bow and arrow. You listen to that guy.
No, how about this? You haven't known who this nigga was for 8 years. You only found out when he unmasked himself. Listen to him.
Right. That's the guy you...
He literally was like, okay, I'll tell you who I am. And then you're like, we fucking knew it.
Right.
What are you
talking about? Right. You're working on our thing. All right. So you listen to that guy, right? You listen to that guy. All right. At the same time, Oliver, you cannot threaten the CEO of a company over a vat of acid, even if you were not going to do it, and get a confession. Sir, that is not...
I don't have that second note.
You cannot do that. I mean, no, wait.
I have withheld that second note, my friend.
I'm sorry. Let me
do what you're going to do.
Let me rephrase it. You can do that. It is not going to hold up in court, though, okay? Well, I want to get that out there. Like, I am not going to tell you you can't do that. It gets results. Don't get me wrong. It gets results. However,
I would say it's a different argument.
However,
I would say we're talking.
I like how Oliver and Felicity did that shit, and it showed up was like, we got him. What are you guys doing? Why are you letting him go? You're letting him go? That's ridiculous. How are you doing that? I'm like,
you can't compel a confession, Ollie.
Right?
But at the same time, like, well, now we not now it's let's do some fucking police work.
Right. Like I said, I'm not.
We got the case. Now let's earn the motherfucker. Let's go.
Right. So, like, again, we understand, and again, this is one of those things where I appreciate it because it was ridiculous. Like when they were talking about some, we don't use excessive force, and you see Oliver dump that cop. So while the end of this episode is what I'm like, you guys should have done this from the get-go. Just make them like a black ops team that you use, because them being police officers, that's not what makes them work well. Like that, it just doesn't. So like the end is what we need to get to. I'm sorry. I'm one of the people, I actually enjoyed the journey because everybody was making bad mistakes.
The thing is, it was funny and it's a lot of fun for us. But they had to show us why it didn't work, because the future is them turning on.
Yeah. You have to.
If they never gave it a legit shot, then we'd have like these areas of gray. But something happens in the next episodes that pushed us in this direction.
Well, and we also see the fact that if we just stick with this the Training Day episode for a minute, the mayor isn't necessarily wrong, like. Everything she said, like, again, so if we take the hat off that we're watching a superhero show and look at it from an actual point of view of, like, real people, like, police abuses are real. You cannot have a group of people running, operating outside the law, who don't answer anybody. Oliver and them doing how they do things normally, they are breaking the law. And if they have no oversight, it becomes the who's watching the watchman type deal of that's not going to work. And again, it's not saying that...
I still don't see a problem. I know you're technically right, but I don't have to deal with it.
No, you're right. But what I'm saying is, at some point, what we're going to see is it gets corrupted. Mm-hmm. And then when you look at... And the reason why I love these two episodes is because, one, you see Oliver them kind of get the permission to kind of operate inside the law while also being kind of outside the law. And then in Star City 2040, you kind of get this idea of what might have happened was, because in that episode, Vigilante saved the day, but they take the blame for it. And so then it becomes...
Well, they save the day by taking the blame, by help. They don't smoke up that guy until he screams, "Vigilantes, run."
Right, but even at the end of it, even at the end, when Renee has to... And I think he enjoyed it a little too much because he's a fucking little snitch. But when he has to basically go out and says, put a $10 million bounty on all their heads and saying all this stuff, it's like, is that what really happened? Is that what happened beforehand? Because remember, Felicity's telling Mia the entire time, it's like, no, we're heroes. And Mia's finding out the opposite when she does the research on her own. And it's like, well, is it whatever Oliver and them end up having to do, do they end up having to take the blame for something even though they did the right thing? And it's because they have to operate outside the law, you know? And so they accept that. And so you're seeing here, like, the thing I love about Training Day is it ends with them kind of being triumphant. They're like, oh, wow, we got our suits back. We're now operating we're still operating legally, but now we're basically a task force under the police that operates in our own way. Yeah, we won. But I'm like, that also now means that anything that goes wrong, you've also now also pressured the mayor into doing this, and she's already against you. The minute that it goes wrong, she's going to turn on you. Because remember what ends up happening is, in the future, the Glades is the part that survives. Star City collapses. And also...
Well, and that's a great point. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying it's a great point because when it falls apart, there has to be a fall guy. Mm-hmm. And I made some notes here because I watched these back-to-back about some of the things that are tying into like the larger Green Arrow mythos. So I think you mentioned last week that they're doing Ninth Circle. Mm-hmm. They also mentioned in both, I think it was just in the Star City 2040, Eden Corp. Mm-hmm. DC fans, it rings a bell, but CW fans ring a bell too. Because when Barry had that speed time episode with the nuke that almost went off, that was an Eden Corp nuke.
Yep.
When Ollie Queen died in the comics, he was his arm was on a dead man switch, on a bomb, a dirty bomb above Metropolis. And Superman couldn't figure out how to save him and not set off the bomb when, honestly, you just heat vision off his fucking arm, Clark. Jesus Christ. Think outside the box. Sorry. It's very annoying. It's one of the dumber comic book deaths. And Ollie goes down that way. The bomb in that comic book was an Eden Corp bomb.
Funny story about that. In 2047, again, we know the time of the change, Oliver doesn't have an arm.
Right. Correct.
So, I'm just throwing it out there.
Correct.
Yeah. But,
there's a plan here, y'all, and I think that we're getting kind of the outlines of it, and I'm pretty impressed.
Yeah, no, it was great. Like, even then, to the fact, like, last week we were talking about, oh, yeah, you know, Diggle's son just changed his name. It's like, no, that's Bron Tiger's son. That's Ben Turner's kid. And I'm like, well, what the fuck? Like, that just blew my mind. I was like, what the fuck happened? When he said, yeah, Connor, my little hawk, I was like, you son of a bitch. So how do we get to
it? Honestly, it was kind of nice watching these back to back.
No, it's great. Oh, it's great. Great. I love
there's so much synergy between the two.
Oh, yeah, there is. And so now I'm like, oh, wait. So Connor is really Ben Turner's son. And so why the fuck did Diggle adopt him? And what is going on here? You know?
Right.
It's like, how did this happen? And I don't, and he doesn't. How did we get here? Yeah, how did we get here? How do we get here? You know, and we know it happens soon because, again, you know, the future time is when you're in Star Wars 2040 is when you find out that, like, Felicity and Oliver have, Felicity has Mia with Oliver out of the city.
Yep, in that house.
In that house, out of the city. They don't want people to know. And it's known that Felicity, everybody knows who Felicity is because she apparently smoke technology, whatever the industries is still under her name. And she's still working there. But is she forced to denounce Oliver? Like, what goes on with that? Nissa's training fucking Mia. How do we?
I love the cameo just for a montage.
Right, just for a montage.
You're just here for a montage.
Hey, we just bring Nissa. We just casually bring Nissa in as a montage to be the years long trainer and I guess protector of Mia for a time. Like, it's just like, what happens? What goes on? We find out that, you know, Felicity's the one, which I'm not shocked by. Felicity's the one that created Archer, whatever the Archer program is. Like,
yeah.
I knew that was coming because we've seen her kind of working towards this, something like this anyway. So that's not a big shock. But the big shock being that it might be the thing that ends up getting Oliver killed. Maybe. Because even then, we're not sure really what happened to Oliver.
We don't know he's dead.
Exactly. We don't know that
they thought Felicity was dead.
Exactly. So what happened? Is he in prison again? Is he dead? Is he also missing?
Did he fake his death?
Who knows? Like, there's so much going on here.
They did a really good job of making us wonder, making us ask.
Well, because I think that the future stuff is so compelling. And I like everybody who's there. I like Zoe. I like you could do a whole show with them. I like them. Like, let's get into it now. Mia is her dad.
I love that she's her dad and he's their mom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And William's Felicity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I love it. It's just so, and I know. Let's see. It's whatever. It's perfect. I love it. It's a great touch. It makes so much sense, too. And the kid who's playing William is doing a really good job.
Oh, he's doing great. Yeah.
He's doing a great job. And I think that having spent the most time with him in the feature parks allowed him to have a little bit more space to play almost with this episode. Because a lot of people are just kind of still establishing who they are in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But because we've been with William the entire time, it feels not more natural, but more, I guess, yeah, natural. To see him in this light.
Yeah. Like, future William is, I think, is way more endearing than the present day William.
Oh,
but again, those times with the present day William make us understand what's going on here. And we see that things had to escalate pretty fucking quickly. That he had to change his name. He had to go out about doing all this stuff. Finding out that Felicity was probably still keeping in contact and donating money to him as an angel investor to all this stuff. So she was probably keeping track of him. Like, it's just... like, all these things are happening in here, and you're seeing that all these people have to deal with something there. You know, Zoe dealing with her two-faced fucking dad.
Traitorous snitch.
What a fucking
snitch. Even snitching on snitches.
He's snitching on snitches.
He's reverse snitching. I don't know how you do that. Like that's Renee's superpower.
I like...
super snitch.
That's the thing that got me about this episode. I was like, wait a minute. Okay, Renee came around. I'm like, wait a minute. Did he just...
Snitches don't change their stripes.
He's now snitched on both. He's just snitching with that terrible.
How can anyone trust him? What are we doing here?
He's got to die. He's got to go.
I don't ask for much, show. I come here every week and I review this show. Someone kill Renee in one of these timelines. They didn't have to stick. Just kill it.
Just kick him in the chest and have him die. Like, have.
We need to teach the youth that this kind of behavior will not be fucking tolerated. Just not cute.
Time is malleable, but like, maybe like we go back in time to when Oliver kicked him in the chest and Renee just doesn't get up.
I would fucking cheer.
He just doesn't get up. Like, I remember when everybody got mad at Oliver when he put Renee in fucking traction in the fucking hospital. I'm like, but he deserved to be there?
Nobody on this podcast got mad.
Right. Nobody here. But also going back to Mia, let's talk about she whoops ass.
Amin's not to be fucked with.
Like,
that's very apparent.
Like, what the fuck? Like, I'm watching her go down. I'm like, yeah, let's just. I mean, Amika's cool and everything. Amika's cool and everything, but yeah, Mia Smoke got that smoke, and wants all the smoke,
and wants to deliver it unto you overnight.
Right.
Amazon Prime, quick.
Like when
they put the guns on her, and she was like, "Thank you."
Right. Finally, some action. I've been wanting to
stretch my legs for 20 minutes.
It's been goddamn, like. Thank you, guys. I needed this. I needed this moment. And I'm just like, is she about to whoop all their... Oh, she is. She's about to whoop all their ass.
Because I was like, oh, she must have the bone. Nope. She's just got these hands. Right. Los manos de piedra. Hands of stone, my friends.
What's the thing? That's the thing that you got to remember. She got trained by Nyssa. And Nyssa basically trained her in them hands. And then it was like, once she got the hands, it was like, all right, now you can use the bow. Now you can use the bow. I'm just like, fuck. Like, whew, boy.
Like, not to be fucked with
at all.
Be a queen
at all. I also appreciate the fact that the way they got the DNA is basically Willem flirting with the other dude. Like, I love the way these shows handle like same sex relationships and interests and stuff like that. It's just.
It doesn't define anyone. It's not their only characteristic. It's, look, it's the gay guy. No, it's just a characteristic of the character.
It's the same thing that would have happened if it was a woman or... It's the thing you see all the time. It's that kind of thing.
It's a trope. It's literally a trope.
It's a trope that they always use. They just never really do it with same-sex couples. And so they... Or same-sex interest. And they did it here. And I'm just like, oh, that's great. That's... I love when they do
that. If there's been one major win over these W shows, it's been just the utter normalcy with which they treat those relationships, as well they should. Like, as they're normal relationships. They shouldn't be treated as a after school special or a very special episode or a, now we're having a gay character. It's just that these are characters. That one happens to be gay. That one likes red. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. No, and we talk about this all the time. And the only reason why we bring it up is because they do it so naturally as it shouldn't be. It shouldn't cause attention. Well, because nobody else does it. It causes attention. You said what?
And also because this is something that's we've seen evolve for almost. You can almost put the counter the epicenter on Legends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I'd actually go back further than that. It was first season. They came the first season of Flash.
Oh. Captain Singh.
Because Captain Singh drops the idea of his boyfriend. We're like, wait, did he say boyfriend? And it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't like
it's never brought up like, wait, did he say it's never brought up in show because that's just who he is. It's just life, man.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, yeah, we're going like when he got hurt and his boyfriend showed up at the hospital and was just like, oh yeah, and he was just joking around. It wasn't like no and nobody else in the show takes it like, oh well, good for them. Like, I am so proud.
It's such a good example for the... No, none of that bullshit. It's just like, oh, he's a gay guy. Big fucking deal.
Yeah, and so the... I think that... I don't know any other shows that do it so seamlessly. And particularly when it comes to... he's not just side character because we have a... You know, Sarah Lance is clearly bisexual. But like, it's fully ingrained from your lead characters, your side characters. Anybody can come in. Like I said, I want to say, when did we? I'm trying to figure out when we found out that William was gay. I guess it was from the futures thing. But then we kind of brought it up. We thought that when he didn't, when he got kicked out of school, we thought maybe it was because they were bullying from being gay. Which it still could have been. You know, we never really got the answer for that. But it's like we understand that. The fact that him and Zoe are close friends, right? And it's obviously not a romantic relationship. They're just really close friends. Because, again, and I love that Connor brought this up when he was talking to me. It's like, yo, you know, I know a little something about having, you know, parents that are superheroes. It kind of sucks. You know? It does. It does suck. You know, I don't know, I love how they, I only bring it up because it's so seamless and they don't make a big deal out of it. And by them not making a big deal out of it, it makes it a big deal. it just does, and it's refreshing, and I really love it, and I'm just it's perfect, love it there. I know we were saying that, you know, this future probably doesn't end up being the future,
but it could. I'm just saying, like, just didn't feel super likely, you know.
Right, but not only that, but I kind of want these characters somehow to survive and go on, because I love the fact that William is the, you know, the hacker of the group. I like Connor Hawk, you know, and Zoe's awesome. It's like, all we need to do is bring XS over, and now we have a superhero team in the future. So I don't know. I would love to have some kind of way of having them there. Because this entire episode takes place in that time period.
Yeah, except for the very last shot, and obviously her birth.
Right, right.
But everything else, you're right, it's 2040. It's this future, it's this dystopian. And I like the idea that the architect's trying to expand, and we see that it doesn't, because by 2049, it's not a pressing concern of excess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm very intrigued to see how they go. Cause I honestly don't know. I don't know what they do. And again, we talked about this on The Flash. It's the show. Everybody knowing the show ends next year allows them to kind of play with how they end this. Because again, just The Flash, we're creeping up at the end of the season.
Right.
And it doesn't feel like it, but we are. So it's like, oh shit, we got things to do. We still got, and then you still got Amico, you got Dante, you know, Duncan MacLeod over here, ready to fuck people up. It's like, you got, now we have two sets of enemies and two sets of things that we feel like we're working on. Same thing is happening over there in The Flash, where you're like, you have the cicadas, and then you're like, oh wait, but we still got Thawne. And now you're getting Godspeed. Like, what the fuck are we doing? This is...
Right.
It's a lot going on.
That's how it feels, yeah.
A lot going on. You have Amico, you know, being outed as being a killer and having killed Diaz. And Laurel doing the dumbest thing possible, which is basically trying to threaten her. And I'm like, Laurel, if she's going to... You can be... It's not like you don't have a secret that can be outed, too. It's like, you don't do this, I'm going to out your secret. It's like, bitch, you have one, too. You have a big one. You're not even from this earth. Matter of fact, you were locked up in Argus. Like, you forget about that?
You can get out real fast.
Right, right. It's like, did you forget that? Oh, you've been playing lawyer too long. You actually believe it. You've actually believed the lie. Oh no. Oh baby, what are you doing? No, no, no. You don't have any leverage here.
That's really true.
Right. You don't have any leverage here. You forgot. You forgot you're not supposed to be here. Oh no, 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 no. So, but it's going to be interesting. And it's funny because when you read, you know, what's up with Amico, it's not entirely off character, right? This is how.
No. She is Right. Yeah. This is particularly the New 52 run. This is in line with the Amico canonical Amico.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know, man. This is I have no idea where we're going. Them running the flash forwards has reinvigorated the show, and I don't know what's going on. I don't know. We see what the future is. We see what Team Arrow and Felicity are doing right now, and we know things have to go horribly wrong.
Right. And that's kind of the shadow hanging over it, because whatever they're doing, they're still on track for this future.
Like, I gotta say, and that we know this season does not end well.
That's fair. That's another fair thing to say.
I just don't see it ending well. And yeah. And again, remember, part of this might tie into the fact that Oliver made some deal during the crossover.
Mm-hmm.
During the Elseworlds crossover.
Oliver made a compromise.
He made a compromise. So what did he offer? What did he do? And do we find that coming back this season, or do we wait until next? Like, I do not know. It's not good. Not good. Connor does not mention.
Not knowing is kind of nice, though.
Yeah. Oh, no. I love not knowing. It's just been great. Makes you nervous, but I think it's great. Connor doesn't mention Lila.
That's a good point.
So, like, you know, Dinah and them, Dinah and Renee and all of them find out that she had a, her and Oliver had a whole child. Which then again makes me go, like, Felicity had to go in hiding then because, again, she makes a comment in the training days. She's like, oh, am I showing? She's not, but it's like, if she goes 9 months and has a child, you can't hide that. Which meant somehow the rest of Team Arrow didn't get there. Which also then brings up the idea of, remember they all got the mark.
Tattoo.
Right? The tattoo. Felicity doesn't have the tattoo. So I'm assuming that she doesn't go back in the city. We know Oliver does. So does Oliver and the rest of the team go back in the city to try to stop whatever is coming? So this does not end well.
But it's one of the things we've known it's not going to end well for a while.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And now we're getting kind of like the we can see the outlines of what's to come, and it's looking about as bad or worse than we thought.
Yeah. We'll see.
Are you up on the Green Arrow? Did you read Green Arrow 50?
I have not. I need to.
Really good job. It's one of those things where it's a good launching point for whatever's next, but it's a really good wrap up and summation of kind of who Oliver Queen is. I really enjoyed it. Anyone who's enjoying this series or enjoying the show, I would just go seek out the series. The series is really good, but issue 50 is a great love letter to Oliver Queen.
I'm gonna try to finish it before we do the mailbag next week. You got anything else you want to say about this episode?
No. Another great job for them of making me want more. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the point you should be at in the series, in the show, and that's where we are. And I do want more. I want to see what's next. I want to see what hell could befall these people, because they did a great job making their torture pretty damn compelling.
Oh, yeah. So. All right, folks. Remember, we are selling tickets to our Avengers Endgame screeners, one out in LA and the other one here in DC. Go to endgame.mtrnetwork.net. If you're on the West Coast, go out and see Shanna, Ro, Lance, and the rest of the crew. They're going to go to Dave and Buster's afterwards. Go ahead and get those tickets now. You don't want to delay. And then here on the East Coast are live show tickets that go with the tickets. They're selling the same price, but we had a smaller venue for the live show. Those tickets are already sold out, but we still have tickets left for it to come see the movie with us before that. And because the runtime for the movie is like 3 hours long, you actually technically will get more time with us at the movie than you will at the live show. So it's going to be a blast. It's going to be fun. So make sure you get your tickets and come out and join us. It's going to be fun. We're going to look at Endgame. We're going to see Endgame probably for the third time.
Third. Yeah, that's a safe number.
Safe number. So yeah, please come out and join us and see us there. Also, we had to delay it, but our Shazam episode for the Character Corner will be recorded and released on this Saturday, so just stay tuned for that. So, again, folks, thank you guys very much for listening, and until next time, we are out of here. Peace.